John Moxley is the third best guy in his own group. And that seems to be a reoccurring theme in his career.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jobber Circle Wrestling Podcast. Of course, we are back with a rating of AEW.
AEW House of Dragon. Yeah, it was just like a promotion for the new HBO Max show.
Yeah, the House of Dragon. Yeah, they casually were just throwing in the storyline for House of Dragon.
Yeah.
During matches, it'd just be like, oh, one royal family rose in the kingdom. And it's like, okay.
The Dragon Slayer, Demon Slayer, yeah. Whatever.
But nonetheless, I guess this is one of the bigger AEW special events. I mean, mm-hmm. This is kind of bigger than Quake at the Lake or Battle of the Belts. Like, why do they still do
that? Oh,
what is Battle of
the Belts? I have a bone to pick with Battle of the Belts.
Literally, Battle of the Belts every year is like, they try to make it this big thing, but it's literally 1 hour of three matches that usually most people retain. Like this,
yeah.
Like Battle of the Belts is not, yeah.
It's like an hour of my life that I can't get back.
Right? Like, I mean, good matches
after.
This year and the past
yeah.
year, but it's just like, yeah, there's like really, like make it a pay-per-view. There's no need
yeah.
for a Battle of the Belts 1 hour special.
But
there's
that's
no
the
need
thing.
For it.
That's the thing. I wouldn't pay for a pay-per-view.
Well, I mean, if you literally
kind.
Made every single belt on the line, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's kind of
yeah,
true.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Maybe that's what they're building for.
I don't know.
But I don't get it why it's want like every other Saturday or
well, yeah,
one Saturday out
of
the month or something.
And yeah, exactly. And then especially for us, like we got to keep better track of these special events because it seems like AEW is now doing them like all the freaking time. When
yes, like too many to keep up with.
Yeah, like it's kind of make it a special TV thing. But I mean, I guess they had to get a few out the way. But
yeah.
So who knows how it's going to be looking forward. But nonetheless, so this AEW special House of Dragon.
Oh. He's almost knocked that over. He's pulling on it. Yeah.
That's fine. We got Logan down here. So,
yeah.
I don't know. He's kind of keeping my feet warm. So, yeah, it started off with CM Punk promo.
CM Punk calling out Hangman Adam Page, who didn't show up, and he called him a coward for that.
Was he even there?
That's what I thought.
He didn't show up at all.
He didn't show up at all.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And
but CM Punk's proving,
yeah.
I mean, he's still got the pipe bombs. Still
yeah.
throwing shots at Moxley, throwing shots at Eddie Kingston. I mean, some of the things like saying that Moxley's always been the third best in his, you know, group.
Yep.
Of course,
Shield
referring back to the Shield. You know, saying that Eddie Kingston is the third best Eddie that he's been in the ring with. And that's what I mean, Eddie Guerrero. And I'm pretty sure he was talking about Eddie Edwards.
Uh-huh.
And then saying in the second best Kingston, obviously, of course, Kofi Kingston, some more shots.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Moxley came through some shots. And I just like the trolling of, you know, Moxley's notoriously long entrance. And
yeah.
CM Punk's like, I'm going to do snow angels until then.
Yeah. I feel like anytime CM Punk does a... I get pipe bomb promo, I guess, whatever you want to call it. Anytime he does a promo, it just seems so like personal. Like
yeah,
they're like actually, and like every
anytime he has like a feud, like the Eddie
yes.
Kingston feud, like yeah, it
any
seems
altercation
like
he's in, it's always a pull apart type thing. Like
yeah.
they have to get them off of each other,
and it is very personal. Whether
yeah.
because they purposely want to make it that way to make it more interesting, or
yeah.
because they are just that damn good at their jobs. Either way,
they do have a lot of history,
yeah.
apparently.
Yeah, either way, I like it. What I didn't like was, I don't like, and you know, they're not the first to do it, and they're not the last to do it, but I think Jon Moxley has done it more, he's done it before, and I think he's done it when he was champion, but it's
mm-hmm.
like, I don't like the disrespect of the title.
They kept
I don't,
just throwing it
yeah,
around.
Yeah, the throwing it, the, oh, this doesn't mean shit, like,
yeah.
this title, it's like, no, this is
literally
everything. What you're building towards is a title match.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like this. Like, you think your character is like, you're trying to be that cool or that rebellious that
yeah.
you don't need it to. It's like, okay, Han Solo, like, you know, this is like, you don't have, like, I don't like that route. It's
yeah.
just, I don't like the like, obviously, that's what you're in wrestling for, right? To be a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you disrespecting the title, regardless if it's a temporary interim champ or not? I don't like any storyline.
But even CM Punk was throwing his around.
Yeah, exactly. Because he was just, you know, monkey see, monkey do. And
right.
that's, I think that was more improv on the spot, just trying to match Jon Moxley. And then you could tell improv on the spot's moments. Like, in a promo, especially when it's back and forth, you can tell it's like, you know, one guy talks, says what he's got to say, and then the other guy talks. And this guy talks. But the fact that, like, CM Punk was... you know, making those little side comments during the promo, like that stuff gets personal, and that's what's interesting. So who knows? Either way, it's a great start to this feud, and that's the way you started off, honestly. Because why just, you know, you could just do the typical, you know, dare I say, you just could do the typical booking route of these guys are just have a feud and they have a fight because they're both champions and we need to have one.
Right.
Simple as that, right? But no, they want to make it more personal, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah. So, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just the only thing. Everything was great, but I didn't like the disrespect of the title.
Yeah.
So for things like this, we are going to rate in-ring segments. We're not going to rate backstage promos, but for things like this, we are going to rate in-ring segments, and we're going to rate the matches, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, one is potato, two is solid, three is this is awesome, four is elite, and five is a brass ring. I'd give this segment a three. I'd give it a this is awesome.
I'm going to give it a three also, just for how real it felt.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
The Will Hobbs promo, we had a Will Hobbs promo backstage. Of course, that's building towards Will Hobbs and Ricky Stark. So
Kind of called him out there on his own.
Yeah, the breakup of Team Taz. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't talked about that as of late.
I know.
Yeah.
FTW champ.
Hook is the new FTW champ.
He's just defending.
Yeah, and they did a promo with him too. That he's gonna face against some
Zach Clayton.
Yeah, from I don't want to say he's just some guy because hey, you know, maybe some people know him and he's good. So you know, we'll check him out and go from there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think when Team Taz broke up, I think you pointed out how Taz like kind of made it clear how that all three members of Team Taz essentially did something behind their back without telling them, which was. I think Ricky Starks doing the open challenge.
Yes.
Hook coming out and accepting and winning the open challenge. And then Will Hobbs had already kind of stabbed Ricky Starks in the back after that. So Taz was like, yeah, you know, based on all three of them doing shady shit, I'm out.
Like, I'm done with all three of you.
Yeah, which is kind of bittersweet because I've always been a huge fan of Taz. Team Taz, I did like Team Taz, but it did seem like after the whole Brian Cage thing, they were kind of getting lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I mean, look what you come out of it. I mean, Ricky Starks is already rising up in superstar status. Hook, you know, kind of skyrocketed to superstar status, kind of. You know, it's just kind of up from here if he's going to keep going up or if he's going to stay stagnant. So we'll see that. And then Will Hobbs obviously has a lot of potential, so we'll see where that goes as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat appearance. That was good.
He was pretty funny.
Timekeeper / bell ringer for the night.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he just fit in with the House of Dragon.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess he was a guest timekeeper for Daniel Garcia and.
I thought it was Garcia and Danielson, but he ended up staying there like the whole night, didn't he?
That's true. Maybe he was just hanging out.
He went back to he probably liked it. He's like, yeah.
He was like, I'm just going to go back, sit out there on the table.
Yeah. And then right there, of course, we had the Judas sing along and Jericho on commentary.
Yeah.
And of course, that was building towards the Daniel.
Is it just me or was he just kind of standing there waiting for the music to end?
Yeah, he kind of was. He was kind of soaking it in, just waiting for his cue. And then he's like, yeah, it was right when they started chanting the last part of the song. He's like, all right, I'm going to go sit
out. Yeah.
That 2 out of 3 falls match, the House of Dragon match.
Wow. That went for like 3 commercial breaks. I was impressed. It was a pretty lengthy match.
And it was good.
But it was so technical. Like I feel like those two just work so well with each other. That's why they respect each other so much.
Yeah, and I think this was an unofficial passing of the torch, kind of, because it just shows that, you know, Daniel Garcia can hang with, you know, Danielson.
And he did. Especially, and he got one fall out of him.
Yeah, exactly. And just amazing match. And it just, like I said, an unofficial passing of the torch, of course, because Brian's not done.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to fight plenty of times. Mm-hmm. And
this was third time.
Yeah, this was like his, how do they say, like, his, like, breaking the glass, like, he's coming out, like he's, like, legit here to, you know, be a badass, basically. Speaking of badass, his entrance song, I didn't realize his entrance song was so, was that new?
I think it was
maybe he's been coming out to the Jericho song so long, I forgot his entrance song. But I think, yeah, so basically my point is Daniel Garcia grew on me, because when he first came in with 2.0, it was interesting, and, you know.
They didn't really fit together.
They're still together, but
are.
They needed something different, and that was the Jericho Appreciation Society.
True, yeah.
And then now, basically, so, you know, that's why I said it wasn't the official passing of the torch, because Brian ended up winning the match.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we got that kind of something interesting after, right?
Yeah, so I guess they're, like, kind of hinting towards Daniel Garcia, kind of. You think Daniel Garcia could join Blackpool Combat Club? Because they're kind
of the
hinting
that he wanted.
So, Jericho comes up behind and attacks Brian Danielson, and this is after he was trying to shake his hand. Like, they were trying to just be respectful at the end of the match, and, you know, Daniel Garcia is like, whoa, like, dude, don't do that. Like, you know, he's cool. And so he's like, dude, like, whose side are you on? And then it kind of just like, yeah, I don't know where it's going to go from here.
Yeah. So we'll see. Jericho wants to call him out, have a face to face in the ring to see what side he's on. So, yeah, that's one. We'll just have to see where it goes. The match itself, I'd give it, man, I think I'm going to give it a 4.
Oh, I was going to give it a 3.
A 3?
Yeah. But, just, man, I was going to say, considering the end.
Well, because you know how we, you know, for our ratings, we put everything into account. And I think, to be fair, to put everything into account, like, this was not on a pay-per-view. So does that bring it down a little bit? But then that's not fair to say. Like, it's
because it was pay-per-view worthy.
It was pay-per-view worthy. Damn. So then that shouldn't, we shouldn't take account of that.
Yeah. I think I'm going to side with you.
A 4?
I'm going to give it a 4.
Yeah.
We're going to give it a 4.
Okay. We'll give it a 4. So, of course, we have a Swerve and Swerve and Their Glory Private Party promo. So that's going to be the next, I guess, tag team feud. And that's good. Private Party deserves a...
Well, they're ring number 5 right now.
Yeah, but, you know, they've been there since... They're like one of the AEW day oneers. So, yeah, they deserve a run, honestly. And that was a funny promo. When Isaiah got into Keith Lee's face and he's just with the stick of gum.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, and then after that, we had, like, Moxley ran in. We had the second CM Punk Moxley pull apart. It was so random. Yeah, the second pull apart. Yeah, it was random, but it just, I like that. That was,
Do we even rate that? It already happened.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, both of them together, you know, it'd still be a this is awesome.
Yeah.
Just because the feud is starting off awesome.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, what was after that? Oh, we had that JIS promo, Ricky Steamboat. You know, it's a backstage promo.
Yeah.
But, you know, just little, just, yeah. That's what
I was trying to remember what they said. It was actually really funny.
Yeah, you sent me a video of it because I was I was doing something
you
in the middle of
stepped away
that.
For a second, yeah, but so, I thought it was funny. So, apparently, that's just when Jericho came out and, you know, told Daniel Garcia he wants to know whose side he's on, wants to confront him next week in the ring. And then Ricky Steamboat comes and, like, him and Jericho are kind of going at each other. And Jericho's like, I haven't liked you for 15 years and blah, blah, blah. And so, like they were just basically, like throwing... Whatever. Yeah, throwing jabs at each other. And then who's the skinny guy in 2.0? I can never remember his name.
I thought their names were like Matt and Jeff.
Matt so and Jeff. Like,
his name is actually Jeff.
Well, Matt is the one that has the accent, right? Okay. So the other one.
Entertainer.
Yeah. So the other one like went up to Steamboat after Jericho walked off and was like, yeah, like basically like, agreeing with him. And Ricky Steamboat chopped the shit out of him. It was so funny. Because, of course, he wasn't going to do that to Jericho.
Right,
so
right.
He was like,
yeah.
Oh, let me do it to just this guy,
yeah,
you know?
Little, yeah,
that was a funny
I
part.
Mean, but they're not rookies. But they're, they're good. They're good. They,
yeah.
See, they're
comedic.
Yeah, exactly. They have their place, and you know, that's awesome. Like when Jericho made that dang, what was it on? I think it was on somebody's podcast, but he made the comment that like how Pat Patterson, you know, legendary Pat Patterson would call Maddie or Matt, you know, he's just a gimmick. That's his guy. That's his, his personality. He's like, you're a gimmick. And he even did the Pat Patterson quote.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're a gimmick. If it wasn't for wrestling, you'd do nothing in life. Like,
wow.
That's what he'd say about people.
Oh, gosh.
Rip, legendary Pat Patterson. the Gun Club versus Varsity Blonde squash match.
Literally,
like,
within
that?
Seconds, they come out, and then Varsity Blondes just drop, and they're gone. Varsity. And I was actually thinking, when I saw them, I was like, okay, here they are. Like, maybe they're going to make a comeback without Julia Hart.
Yeah, they lost Hart, and then they lost this match for 2 seconds.
Sure enough, in seconds, they were done. And then I think, of course, you find out afterwards that the whole point of this match was for Billy Gunn to come out and for his own sons to turn on him.
I know, like Jim Ross was so deep. Sorry, but
I know that was a little extra.
This was a rush segment. The segment was rushed and the commentary was cringe. Like literally rush segment plus commentary cringe. This is what this was. I mean, it was kind of the good story.
Yeah.
A good rushed story of you know, the Gun Club turning on their dad, and then Jim Ross is like, oh my gosh, like, why? And then when Jim Ross is expressing how deeply disappointing and concerned it is, like, they're already scissoring with the Acclaim. It's like,
yes,
it needed to like span out just like maybe 5 more minutes, maybe have a moment where the Gun Club is actually like standing over Billy Gunn with Stokely, and that's the moment when they're expressing how disrespectful and how bad this is. Then the Acclaim comes out, and then Stokely runs off from the ring. Not just that he was literally on the
ramp. I thought he just disappeared. I guess they're just saving that.
Yeah, I don't know. So it was just a rush segment. But so overall, I give it a 2.
I'm going to give it a 2 also.
Yeah. It was, as far as the match gets a potato. If we're just like, I'm giving it a 2 with respect to the match and the segment, you know, right? That's
what we're doing here. Yes, I can totally agree with that.
But if we were just doing the Varsity Blondes and Gun Club, fucking potato. 0.
Yeah, that's a potato.
Yes. So, yeah, and then we had the Jungle Boy Christian promo. What did you think about that?
This is a little sketch. I really don't know what to think about this. So, of course,
you're just concerned with Jungle Boy wearing black and like Luchasaurus wearing black, but I think that's just symbolizing
that like he's not dressed like what's the jungle guy's name?
Yeah, like Tarzan. That's what they're symbolizing, that he's trying to, you know, look cooler. Yeah. And that's always a color to look cooler is black. What do you think I've worn it all my life? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, because you're cool, babe.
No. I wore it all my life because, I don't know, it makes me feel invisible.
I love it. Yeah. Well, maybe that's how Jungle Boy feels. You know, he's over here, like, calling. Okay, so the first thing I want to mention is that Jungle Boy apparently got in trouble for wearing his pussy shirt.
Oh, yeah.
You can bleep that out if you want. But, yeah, I was like, apparently he said that they told him to never wear it. I know. Yeah. They told him to never wear it on television again, so which kind of sucks because I'd buy it.
Right.
But yeah, so then he, you know, challenges Christian to a match. Christian comes out as like, you know, no, the typical heel move.
But I love how Christian just like, it's a different type of heel. Like, that's like, I don't know. That's like me and, you know, my friend Walt. I mean, if you know, if you listen to Kevin Universe, you know who Walt is. But me and Walt were messaging back and forth, and just like, he's like, dude, like, I forgot how good Christian is. And it's, I told him too, like, it's promos like that. That's like, it's like, he's not just like, he did have his weeks where he came out and was a typical, like, heel, dare I say, MJF type heel, where he was just throwing shots. But this, he was like the, I don't know, like, how do you say, like, the weasel or, like, the rat? Like, oh, everything, we could just forget everything, just come
back.
He's
like, you're like a son to me.
You're like, just come back home. And then whenever Jungle Boy attacks him 2 minutes later, he's like, I fucking hate you.
Oh, God, it's too funny.
That was awesome.
I feel like Christian's, so that, this is a good way to put it, Christian's promos are making him relevant still.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
Because he doesn't wrestle much anymore. I mean, he does have his matches, but.
Yeah, with all due respect to Matt Hardy, Christian, like, found his place, you know, in AEW. I think he has, you know, he was kind of stagnant there with Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, but look what they ended up turning it to.
Right.
The storyline too. So yeah, he's definitely finally,
I hope the match actually goes through. They really didn't actually say yes after all, but I think after that
Jungle
attack,
Boy attacked him. He freaking put his arm on the steps, stepped on it, and then he was like banging his head against the steps before everyone finally pulled him apart. This was like, the freaking security guards had a night. They did their job. Like, especially that one with the long blonde hair. He freaking was in every pull apart tonight.
That's that's Theory's younger brother.
Yeah, Austin Theory's younger brother.
I saw something already on Twitter. It's like Austin
Breeze.
No,
it's like Tyler Breeze and Austin Theory.
No, I saw something on Twitter. It's like, Theory's little brother, Thesis.
Thesis. Thesis. Theory and Thesis. Oh, that's great.
That's funny.
So then, then after that, it was just the Wardlow promo. Like I was saying, they're really
the
putting
pinnacle.
Trios together. Yeah, technically they were in the pinnacle.
They're just
together.
Throwing these threes together.
Yeah, but, you know, I like the way they explain it, you know, with FTR saying, like, hey, Wardlow did need our help, but we're not going to let him go out there and get jumped. So, like, he's cool with us.
Yeah.
Like, hey, here we are. So, and, you know, FTR. It sucks that they didn't have a match, but it's building towards Jay Lethal and, you know, Satnam Singh.
Mm-hmm.
And is the other, I always forget his name, but the guy with oh, Jesus. Is he going to be involved? The pencil?
Yeah, it's a trios.
That should be like
Did
a
we
nickname.
Rate the what's one? What was the one we were just talking about?
Oh, the Jungle Boy Christian promo.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm gonna
give
it a 3.
We do have to rate that. That was the in-ring promo.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna
give it a 3.
I was gonna say more of a 2, but no. Yeah, after we talked about it, 3. The 3 sounds good.
I'll say 3.
I'll give it a 3. So,
but yes, back to your question. Satnam Singh is gonna be a part of the match. I think he's the he makes the 3.
Well,
Who
else? Yeah, Satnam Singh's the giant.
Oh, I get him.
But their whole
Sanjay.
Building. Exactly. They're building towards Wardlow trying to powerbomb Satnam Singh, and I'm kind of nervous if he, like, I know he can, but I'm just nervous, like, what could go wrong? You know what I mean?
He's too big.
Yeah.
He's scary big.
Yeah, but we'll see. Then we had Kylan King.
Kylan King, yes, versus Toni Storm. Yep. I was happy to see her back.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, of course.
She had her run during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. And then when it started, when AEW started back up after the pandemic, was when they had to let people go. It was kind of sad. But in a way, you know, he probably brought her back because he saw more potential in her.
Oh,
she
yeah.
probably left,
oh, yeah.
did some, you know, independent shows, was really impressed with her performance. And yeah I'm happy for her. But she did job. So
the match, yeah, she did job. The match gets it too. I mean, you know, that's, you know, building Toni Storm up for the
yeah.
match against Thunder Rosa.
Thunder
so,
Rosa.
I'd give
no
that
more
match
Thunderstorm.
A two.
That happened for like 2 weeks.
I think they're trying to do like this, like keep your friends closer, your enemies closer kind of storyline with Thunder
okay.
Rosa. So they haven't. I don't think they've really attacked each other yet. So
yeah.
But Thunder Rosa, after the match, when she was looking backstage, you know, doing that slow clap, she kind of did have her face like, oh, this puta. Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
she did have that kind of look. So, yeah, the match gets a 2. It was a solid match. And obviously
I'm
going to
give it a 2.
Just to build up Toni Storm a little bit, give her, you know, something before this
uh-huh.
Storyline keeps going.
Yes.
Then we had the Trust Busters promo. Of course, you know, we had Sunny Kiss join them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. You got Parker Bordeaux.
Parker Bordeaux.
Bordeaux. I said Bordeaux. Parker
yeah.
Bordeaux. So, you know. He even put on Twitter, everyone's like, oh, he's the next Brock Lesnar, next Brock Lesnar. And he put on Twitter, he's like, no, I'm the first and only Parker Bordeaux. Like, you know what I mean?
That's so, a good way to put it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not WWE, so.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm kind of, I don't really know much about the Trustbusters as other people, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see more.
Rampage.
Yeah. And then when it comes to the trios, I don't know if Sonny's going to be the manager or is that guy, Kevin Federline. If that 2005 Kevin Federline looking dude's going to be the manager, with all due respect.
What's
you know,
with his hat? His upside down
yeah,
hat.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the trios match, the main event.
Oh.
The whole reason why we decided to film this episode.
Literally.
No, it was a good show overall.
Yeah.
But everyone, of course, was always wondering who was going to be the trios, who's going to be the Young Bucks third mm-hmm. in the trios match against La Facción del Gobernable.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm Hispanic and I can't even speak Spanish.
Yeah, donde?
Oh my God. That lady was like, donde? And I was
yeah.
like, talking to me?
Yeah. Finds out after donde means where. I'm like, maybe she's not talking to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we were traveling this weekend. If you want to know more about it, listen to our next Cave in Universe episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, I go, but yeah, I'm at the whole. I'm in the elevator and I walk out and the lady, the maid's like, donde? And I'm like, are you talking to me? And then I go back into the hotel room. I'm like, babe, what does donde mean?
Like,
and
where?
She's like, what? I was like, I was walking out of the hotel room and she looked at me and said, donde? Or walking out of the elevator, she said, donde? And I was like, what? Donde what? Like, what? Oh, gosh.
It's too funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, the trios match. From the beginning, we freaking said, It doesn't feel like it's going to be Kenny Omega.
Yeah,
it's like,
it doesn't feel like
the right time for some
yeah.
reason. But then sure enough, Justin Roberts gets handed the golden paper with the script.
Yes,
and
we knew
I
right
immediately
away.
Knew. I was like, okay,
yeah.
that's the Kenny Omega's intro.
Yeah.
Like, it's so long. And sure enough, long behold, in the flesh.
Kenny Omega's back. I was excited. I was excited and I'm still excited, but I'm still and was concerned.
Yes.
You know, because he did have that compression shirt. At first, I thought it was part of his gear. Like,
yeah.
you know, he was, like, doing the actual, like, Metal Gear Solid,
I thought he
like,
had, like, a robotic arm.
Gear. Yeah, yeah, something like that. Like, that's what something Kenny Omega would do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it just turns out, it's like, yeah, is he going to always wear that? Is he wearing that until he gets a little bit better
Maybe
shape?
Maybe it was just
but
to
then,
be cautious.
But then did he come back too early? Like, but he was still performing well.
He was still performing.
He just had a little bit of rust, you know, of course, as they pointed out. But he's still,
yeah.
you know, he's still Kenny Omega.
Exactly.
You know
the
I mean?
The crowd still loved him. I have the hiccups. I'm sorry. But
okay.
the crowd still loved him. He was missed.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad he's back. And I hope.
Yeah, this made the night. This
yeah.
definitely made the night.
Yeah.
It was freaking awesome.
We'll
Omega,
see where they
course,
advance in
you know,
the tournament.
Exactly. If you ask me, top 3 wrestlers right now, see, Kenny Omega's number. Kenny Omega fell to number 2 only because he was gone. Seth Rollins took the number 1 spot, and then, you know, of course, Roman's got to have number 3.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's hard, because then, look at AEW.
Well, that's what I mean. You'd probably have to have a top 3 in AEW and your top 3
yeah,
in
WWE. Yeah, see,
because
you can't merge them, because
can't.
Then you could put Brian number 3 instead mm-hmm. of, because, yeah, if you're, yeah, now, yeah, that doesn't make me think. Who would be your top 3 overall?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have to be hard. You'd have to do separate lists, because number 3 can go to Brian, it could go
yeah.
to Roman, it could go to Mox. It could go to Jericho just on principle alone
uh-huh.
with his longevity and just how he's still freaking
Yeah.
You know, top tier.
Yes, that's so true.
It could go to anyone. Like, I dare say, like Jericho is, like, gotta be on my Mount Rushmore. Like, mm-hmm. if Eddie Guerrero is on my Mount Rushmore, you know, Jericho has to be on my Mount Rushmore. But then it's like, then that's hard, because then who's the other two? Because then the other two, you would have to put in between, you know, Undertaker, Rock, Stone Cold. Rock and Stone Cold, I think, as far as Mount Rushmore goes, it's either The Rock or it's either Stone Cold. Both, you have to pick one to represent that generation. You cannot have two, I'm sorry to say. So, and it wouldn't be Hogan. I don't want Hogan on Mount Rushmore. Get it out. I've never liked Hogan.
No.
Even since I was a kid. Maybe it's because I wasn't born or grew up in the 80s and 90s, but I just never liked Hogan. Sorry, people.
Get the ass out of here.
You know, I'm an Undertaker guy. So, like, Undertaker would be on Mount Rushmore. So, I'd have to say, see, Undertaker, Stone Cold, Eddie Guerrero. That fourth one's hard, because I want to put Jericho there. I want to put Triple H there. I want to put The Rock there. I want to put, you know, because Mount Rushmore is going to be an alternate version of the typical, you know, glorified, you know, money-making stars, because I've always been into the alternate type of characters, you know, as far as wrestling anything goes. But anyway, we went off on a tangent. We'll have a Mount Rushmore episode.
That'll be fun. I'd love to talk about my all-time favorite, Eugene.
Your Mount Rushmore would be Gilbert, Eugene, Gilbert, the Brooklyn Brawler, Eugene, the Grubbly Gooker. That's killing Mount Rushmore.
I know. I recently heard about Gilbert, and he changed my life.
But as far as Kenny Omega in this match, I'd have to. I want. Like I said, it's a pay-per-view worthy match. It doesn't get quite a brass ring, especially because, you know, it was Kenny Omega's first match back. And they, just as usual, AEW ended with the rush finish. Literally, 10 seconds before it gets off the air. Of course, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega win. They advance to the Trios tournament. You know, awesome. Yeah, I can't wait for these Trios, you know, belts to be crowned. But they're showing Kenny Omega and Young Bucks celebrating, going up the ramp, and all of a sudden, the last 10 seconds, it spans to the ring. Andrade does his, like, oh man, I forgot what that move is called on the spot, but he does his, you know, special DDT move to
Dragon Lee,
Rush's little brother. In the process, Dragon Lee's mask accidentally comes off. So literally his mask comes off, and then he immediately has to go like that, and then they just pan back, and they're like, oh, sorry, we're out of time, everybody. It's like...
So they just turned on him, and that's it?
They just turned on him in the last 10 seconds, and that was it. I mean, obviously, it's probably just because he wasn't really on AEW TV before, and that's just the way to write him off, and now it's just going to be, you know, Andrade and Rouge. They needed someone. They needed to have someone for this Trios match, but obviously they lost the Trios match, so they don't need a third anymore. True. So now it's just going to be Andrade, Rouge, and, you know, Jose or whatever.
Jose?
I hate they did that with the Jericho Eddie Kingston barbed wire match, which was an awesome match. That match, you know, was an elite match. But the last 10 seconds was the main spot of throwing Jericho in the pit of barbed wire, which if you even saw like the special like social media footage afterwards, that was legit barbed wire that was cutting
him. They literally had to use all around wire him.
Cutter. Yeah, that's it's crazy. So, I hate these rushed finishes because they run out of time.
Yeah.
You know, it's annoying to see as a fan. It really is.
Yeah. They could have easily cut somebody's promo a little bit short or worked their way around, but I don't know.
You know, I know you want to put everyone on the show, but at the same time, it's like...
You only have 2 hours.
And that you have to delegate better.
Yeah.
You know? Don't put these jobber matches on Rampage. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So, exactly.
But I'd give that it was an elite match. It was 4. But overall, the night gets a 3. This is awesome.
The elite get an elite 4.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And then it was awesome night. Awesome night. You know.
3 overall night. I can agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
But that's cool. So, what else you got to say?
We
never know how to end these episodes.
I know.
I know. So we just end it like this.